You're just in time for the best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff, the radio outreach of the Christian Research Institute. Our purpose here at CRI is to equip Christians to pursue sound doctrine, to discern truth and error, and to become faithful disciples of Christ, because life and truth matter. For more information, to order resources or donate, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. Now, here's the president of the Christian Research Institute, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. I've often said that Satan packages and repackages the lies in so many different ways that it's hard to keep up with. And therefore, we have to become so familiar with the truth that when counterfeits loom on the horizon, you know it instantaneously. And that entails being able to communicate what you believe, why you believe what you believe, and in whom you have believed. And the reason I mention this is sometimes you just can't make it up. And I saw an article that was titled, "Church of Bacon, May the Lard Be With You." And I thought, this has to be some kind of a joke. Turns out, "Hail Bacon, full of grease, the lard is with you," are the opening lines to the United Church of Bacon's "Hail Piggy, a Prayer for Bacon." And this is an actual church. They do weddings and funerals, and they have friars who are officiating. And the church was started at Penn Jillette's house in 2010 by the 12 apostates, all friends of Penn. And the first active membership drive was in 2012 at the Amazing Meeting, a Science and Skepticism conference. And motivation for the meeting was to get people to donate. And by the way, this is Penn Jillette, the comedian, illusionist, atheist of Penn and Teller fame. And Penn is an approved and sanctioned Sunday school teacher, maybe the approved and sanctioned Sunday school for this Church of Bacon. But you read about what they stand for. One of the things they say is, why bacon? And there's a reason. That's supposed to be a logical, sentient, rational reason. The reason they call it the Church of Bacon is because bacon is real, and bacon can be proven to exist in a court of law. And therefore, Penn and company are saying that they are a church of skeptics, and if you can prove it, they will believe it. That's interesting. That opens a door for Christianity, because Christianity is not blind faith. As I was telling some leaders in the Communist Chinese Party, we do not believe in blind faith, but always faith in evidence. So we have evidence for God. Now, evidences come in different forms. Some evidences come in the form of legal evidences, evidences that are admissible in a court of law. Others are empirical evidences. So you have to make a careful distinction that skeptics oftentimes do not make. So you can prove that God exists just through common sense. Every effect has to have a cause equal to or greater than itself. And certainly, they would have a hard time proving that nothing created everything, that life came from non-life, and that the life that came from non-life produced morals. But anyway, they've opened up an opportunity for witness. So whether it's the Church of Bacon or a garden variety pagan or a skeptic, we need to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect, with meekness and with reverence. Because remember, every single person, whether they're a radical skeptic or someone who just has doubts, every single person without Jesus Christ is going to spend, well, an eternity without Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what they want. They have the light of creation. They have the light of conscience. If they will respond to that light, they will receive as well the light of Christ. And so light has come into darkness, as Jesus Christ said, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Let's go to the phone lines. A lot of you hanging on. First up today, Dale, listening in Missouri. Hi, Dale.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
Good, thank you.
My question is, when Jesus was being crucified and God was overseeing all this, was he giving the people that were being brutal, the Romans, was he giving them instructions of how much to beat this man and crucify him until he died? And what if they would just cut his head off right then and there and ended it? Would have changed the whole outlook of our world, or would God proceed to make it all right?
Well, you have to remember that what the Romans were doing was something that they had perfected. A crucifixion was not invented by the Romans. It was perfected by the Romans so that it would extract the maximum pain. And that's why the word excruciating had to be codified to fully communicate the horror of the cross. Excruciating denotatively means out of the cross. So the pain that Jesus Christ suffered on the cross was incalculable, but that was not the only pain that he suffered. He also suffered the metaphysical pain of all of the sufferings of humankind, so that he bore our sins, he bore our sufferings in his body on the tree so that we might be reconciled to God. But in the process, there are two things at play. One is certainly the sovereignty of God, Jesus Christ being a lamb slain before the foundations of the world. The other is human significance, and therefore, whoever was exacting torment upon Jesus Christ is culpable for that sin, to which Jesus Christ saying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If they had fully understood who Jesus Christ was, this would have been something that would have been horrifying even to the tormentors. But the reality is, as I started saying in the opening of this broadcast, God lives in enough obscurity so that if you do not want to find him, he remains in obscurity. But he dwells in enough light so that if you want to find him, he's available to you. There's the light of creation, there's the light of conscience, and there's a third light. It is the light of Christ. We can, if we adhere to the light that we have been given, be given more light.
Okay. Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
So you have to keep in balance two things. One is God's sovereignty, and God does not operate with a stacked deck. He can perform his purposes through genuinely free creatures. The other thing you have to take into consideration is the culpability of those free creatures. They are morally culpable for what they did. They're not programmed robots. The fact that God knew what would happen doesn't mean that he programmed them as robots to do what they did. Therefore, they are justly and condignly condemned for their sin if they do not ask for forgiveness.
Okay. I understand, yes.
Okay?
Okay, well, thank you. That kind of answers my question.
You got it, Dale. Thank you for calling. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Lori in Oakland, California. Hi, Lori.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. It's nice to talk to you.
I have a question. I was talking to a girlfriend of mine, and she was telling me that she knows a pastor that's a comedian, and she said that he shouldn't do it anymore, and she used 1 Corinthians 8 and 13. And I was just wondering what you thought about that, because I actually met her because I'm a radio personality in Los Angeles. I work at a secular station, but I met her on the request line, and I asked her, you know, well, should I leave the radio station? So what do you think?
You're saying it was on the basis of 1 Corinthians 8:13?
Yes, 8:13.
Yeah, so therefore, if what I eat causes my brother to fall into sin, I will never eat again so that I will not cause him to fail. Yeah, I mean, I think this principle would apply to someone who is purposely causing someone to stumble. For example, it is certainly permissible for someone to drink a glass of wine. It's not permissible for someone to get drunk, nor is it permissible for someone to be a glutton. So if we see that by doing what we're doing, we're causing a brother to stumble, we're better off not doing that, even though it is permissible. But in terms of the pastor who is a comedian, I think that if you have the gift of comedy, You can use that gift for God's glory. You can also use that gift in a way that wouldn't be glorifying to the Lord. But to use your gift is an imperative. So if you have the gift of comedy, which I most certainly do not, but if you have the gift of comedy, by all means, you want to use that gift for God's glory.
Wow. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. I totally agree with you. I appreciate it. I'm going to let her know.
Well, thank you. You know, it is very important in light of this question that we use whatever gift God has given us, and we exercise those gifts to His glory, and we recognize that God has placed us here for a purpose. As C.S. Lewis has rightly said, that the king has landed in disguise and he's calling all of us to a great campaign of sabotage. We're called to sabotage the kingdom of darkness. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More is the story of a transformed life. Hank Hanegraaff passionately proclaims that truth matters and equips readers to defend the essentials of the historic Christian faith. But he doesn't stop there. He goes on to explain why his life and ministry were radically transformed by a three-word phrase, life matters more. Why does life matter more? Read Truth Matters, Life Matters More, and discover the unexpected beauty of an authentic Christian life. To receive a copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More for yourself or as a terrific gift to a friend or loved one, just call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly three decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition Revised and Updated is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Keith in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Keith.
Hey, Hank. How you doing, sir?
Good, thank you.
Say, I am a long time listener, close to 15 years, a little bit longer, really. And I do love you and love your show. And I really respect on how you read and study your Bible, and you know where you're at.
Thank you, Keith.
My question, Hank, is I had a conversation with a Muslim, and I have learned not to argue the Bible, argue with anyone over the Bible, the scriptures. But this is what I want to understand, because he was saying to me that he'd rather be a Muslim than a Christian because he is able to have multiple wives. And, you know, of course, he tried to bring this thing up with the movie that Denzel Washington had, Malcolm X. And then he even tried to back it up with scripture as far as Solomon having so many wives, David having so many wives. I didn't want to argue with him because I really didn't understand why God had allowed that, and so I couldn't really explain it.
Yeah.
So I told him that I would talk to him later on that, but I really would just like to have an understanding for myself, not to argue with him, but just to understand that myself.
Yeah, you know, and you're modeling something that I think is so important for everybody to latch on to, and that is, if you don't know the answer to a question, then you do precisely what you're modeling, and that is you research and you return. So that as God gives you opportunities, you can't change anybody's heart, but you can give a well-reasoned answer. And that reason is for the hope that lies within you, and you can give that answer with gentleness and with respect. Now, remember that many things in Scripture are what I would call descriptive rather than prescriptive. In other words, the Bible describes things as they are. It doesn't airbrush even David's quintessential king, but rather shows him with all his warts and moles and wrinkles, just as he is. And so when he sins by having Uriah killed on the battlefront and then taking his wife, the Bible shows that as sin. It also shows David's prayer of contrition, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me so that my tongue will sing of your righteousness. So David is when confronted by his sin, is appropriately contrite. Now, the fact that God forgives him does not mean that the consequences do not follow. The consequences follow inexorably like night follows day. And that is true not only with David's sin in terms of adultery, but also with the sin of polygamy. Because the Bible's very clear, you must not multiply wives. That is a very clear command of the Lord to the kings, and if that is true of the kings, how much more of the subjects in the kingdom? And so when you see Solomon and David violating the command of God, you also see that there are consequences to those violations. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines, and you see at the end of his life how the concubines and wives lead him away from the Lord his God to serving other gods. And as a result, the kingdom is torn in two pieces. It is an incredible thing that happens as a result of the sin of Solomon. So while, again, the Bible describes the sin, it doesn't prescribe the action as though this is something good. No, the Bible makes very clear that a man leaves his father and his mother and is united to his wife, not wives, and the two, not three or more, become one flesh. And of course, as Paul says, each man should have his own wife, not wives, and each woman her own husband, not husbands. A wife must not separate from her husband, we are told, not husbands. and a husband must not divorce his wife, not wives, plural. If you look at Timothy 3, you see Paul pointing out that an overseer or an elder must be the husband of one wife. So while polygamy is practiced, you also see that it causes great misery, not only for the women, but is condemned by God. And as a result, we should follow what God prescribes. If you look at just what has happened to women as a result of the horror of polygamy, that should be enough to stop it. And even a secular government like our government recognizes the horror of polygamy. That may change in the future because the arguments that are used for same-sex sexuality apply equally to polygamy, and therefore, by virtue of the reasoning, you could justify polygamy. But biblically, you cannot. It is described but never prescribed.
Amen. Hank, once again, very good. Straight and to the point. I got a full understanding out of that. I really thank you. And it's not for me to go back and, you know, argue with him, but now I understand. In case one of my children asks me, I can explain it. And I thank you for saying that the Bible is not airbrushed. It is what it is.
Yes.
Just that statement alone, you know, it shined more light. I really appreciate that. I thank and praise God for you and your entire ministry.
Thank you so much, Keith. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Joseph. He's listening in Bakersfield, California. Hi, Joseph.
Hey, Hank.
Hi.
I'm a Christian gamer, and I heard some guys saying that you had to live your virtual life the same as your spiritual life. And I figure from what he meant was I couldn't play as an assassin or as a thief or a criminal in certain games. And I'm just not sure about what he meant.
Well, I don't know either, but it seems like there's some common sense there. There's a sense in which if you become addicted to a video game and you're doing all the things that are part of the kingdom of darkness in a continuous fashion, that may have a real impact on your behavior in the real cauldron of life. And perhaps that's what he is communicating. And I think there might be some wisdom there.
Well, I'm not really addicted to it. I mean, I don't really want to commit crimes or anything like that. I just want to play as it for, you know, for the fun.
Right. And, you know, we wrote a pretty well-balanced article in the Christian Research Journal in this regard. I mean, while there are real concerns over violence and addiction to video games, there are some indicators that say that done correctly and done in moderation, it's a diversion, but it's not necessarily something that is detrimental in your life. So there's certainly a whole range of opinions on this. But, you know, the thing that I'm always concerned about is that which is permitted is supplanting that which would be very good. So think about how many people are playing video games today and never memorizing the Word of God. In other words, never stimulating the synapses in their brain through memorization. So I think, you know, we all have so much time in every day, and we want to make sure that we use that time productively. I mean, this is one of the great principles of the kingdom. Use your time in such a way that when you stand before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and give an account for what you did while in the flesh, you don't have to shrink. But you can say, wow, I have just received the commendation of the King. Well done, good and faithful servant. So I think that's the real thing that ought to guide us. Not all of the do nots, but rather do's, which is if we are doing those things that are righteous and lead to goodness and holiness and faithfulness and purity and so forth, then some of the trash just simply disintegrates in the process.
Thank you, Hank, and I want to do what's right in God's eyes. And sometimes I just feel unsure about certain things.
Yeah, and I'd like to send you this article because certainly, as I mentioned, while some video games employ principles of behavioral psychology to hook players, experts haven't agreed on what counts as video game addiction to begin with and whether the medium itself is responsible for compulsive play. So there's a whole article that is very instructive that I'd love to send you. But the basic principle that I want to drive home is use our time in such a way that when we stand in glory, we'll be proud of how we spent our time.
Okay, thank you, Hank. And I see what you mean, that I shouldn't play too long, but sometimes things in games are permissible.
Yeah, and you know, there are all kinds of things that I do. I love to play golf, and it's a great stress reliever for me. It gets me into another world. It, you know, just so happens that it gave me an opportunity to start a Bible study with some guys that like to play golf with me. So it has a very beneficial impact in a lot of aspects within my life. But I could overdo it as well.
Yes, I really appreciate your ministry, Hank.
Well, thank you, Joseph. I appreciate those kind remarks. We are out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you next time with more of the show.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Before we sign off today, here's our contact information. By phone, dial 888-7000-CRI, which translates to 888-7000-274. On the internet, go to equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina. The zip code is 28271. Our prayer is that today's broadcast has equipped you to better defend your faith and encouraged you to pursue sound doctrine and godly living. Thank you for listening. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.